This is the fourth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson is recorded in Acts 4, beginning with verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and, because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in 1 John 3, beginning with verse 16. This is how we must know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything He asks. We ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. John. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
So, were you smitten a little bit? Maybe that's not the best word, but were you taken aback at something that you heard in the second lesson this morning, particularly these words? And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Oh, that's a tough one. But that's why we're doing the door offering for Carrie this morning. Being brothers and sisters. It talks about if somebody is in need and you don't help them, but you have the capacity, then what kind of brother are you? And also from the gospel lesson this morning, where Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. That's you and me. That's you and me. The first sheep were, of course, the people of Israel that Jesus came and lived amongst and became a part of. But then we have been brought in to the sheepfold. Praise his name. But Peter and John were going up to the temple. And we heard about it in the first lesson. And Peter healed this man who had been disabled his whole life. He's over 40 years old. The man who daily sat at the gate called Beautiful, leading into the great temple in Jerusalem. We talked about it last week. Peter said to the beggar, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk. And he took the man's hand and he pulled him to his feet, and instantly God miraculously healed the man's legs, and he could walk. And he held on to Peter, and then he began to gain more strength, and he began to praise God over this great, great gift. This healing. This man was known by everyone who used that temple entrance. And he was shouting and praising God. And as we learned last week, a very large number of people received faith in Jesus that day. And it all started by Peter daring enough to care for this man and daring to believe that Jesus could heal him. And it drew a crowd. And because everyone knew this man, they knew this was a bona fide miracle. The crowd was convinced that this message about Jesus, in whose name this healing was done, needed to be listened to and seriously considered. And by the end of the day, the number of Christians in Jerusalem who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior now exceeded 5,000 people. This was significant. So significant that the high priest had Peter and John arrested, placed in jail overnight, and then brought before the very same body that condemned Jesus to death, the Sanhedrin. And this is what they asked Peter and John. By what power or name did you do this? That was the wrong question to ask. With this question, they opened a door I'm sure they wished they'd not. For this was Peter's reply. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Yes, the high priest, Annas, his father-in-law, Caiaphas, and their cohorts very likely regretted giving Peter and John the opportunity to speak. For Peter boldly, unreservedly, and without regard for himself declares that this man was healed in the name of Jesus, the very man these men had condemned to death. And not only that, but Peter also declares that though they had condemned Jesus to death, God had raised him back to life. And notice too what Luke writes, how he begins this passage. He begins it by saying, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." Peter was emboldened, filled with the Spirit of God, and from the Spirit of God had the courage to speak as he did before these dangerous men. Peter, the very same man who, while Jesus was on trial before these men, denied that he even knew who Jesus was three times. This same Peter was now able to have the courage and bravery needed to proclaim Jesus. That, my friends, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't end there. Peter continues. He says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." How those words must have stung those priests with guilt. I have to believe that a certain number of them very likely experienced a certain measure of fear upon hearing those words, because they were the ones who were responsible, at least in the first order of things, for the death of Jesus. My friends, those words that you see on the wall right there, those are words of truth, a timeless truth of God. There is no other name given among humankind whereby we must be saved. They were true then, and they are true today. We live in a day and age when people often hold the notion that they get to decide whether God exists or not. I wonder what God thinks about that. God, let me think of it this way. God created the universe. He continues to give life. He sustains life. Even in this drastically sin-affected world, where the consequences of sin are seen in every direction, murder over here, theft over there, hatred in heart toward others, illness and sickness abounding, wars and conflicts. Yes, the evidence of sin are nearly everywhere you look. And still, God protects, God sustains, God guides, and ultimately leads us through all the hardships created in and through sin to a better place. He takes us through this world of hurt and pain and keeps us on our feet of faith until He finally brings us into His heaven of perfection. Yes, God raised Jesus from the dead. And by faith in Him, people are given the gift of everlasting life in heaven. Their sins are forgiven. They are made members of God's family. And they receive the help of God daily in ways that they see and in a vast number of ways that they never see. But so many today get irritated with Christians when we say that faith in Jesus is God's chosen pathway to heaven. People hear us say that, and they accuse us of either being narrow or exclusionary. But know this. It is exactly as Peter said. There is no other name given under heaven to humankind by which we must be saved. Now, where on earth did Peter come up with such a notion? How about from Jesus Himself? This is what Jesus said about Himself. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." And here's where the rubber hits the road. In saying that, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic with delusions of grandeur, or He's telling the truth. To conclude that He's a liar or a lunatic is to take an incredible gamble. For what if He's telling the truth? If He speaks the truth with those words, then those who just simply decide He's not telling the truth or that He's crazy have their eternal destiny hanging in the balance. And if they're on that side of the equation, they're on the wrong side of the scale. Here's what I tell people who are considering the claim of Jesus to be the pathway to heaven. I tell them, just give Jesus a chance to reveal to you that He is speaking the truth. Pray and invite Him into your life. Start reading the Bible regularly, probably starting with the New Testament. Start worshiping regularly. Pray about everything, and here's what you'll discover. Your life won't be perfect. You will still have hardship. You will still have struggles. For remember, this isn't heaven. But you will also discover that in the midst of those difficult times, there will be strength available to you that you've never had before. You will have a greater peace than you've ever had before. You'll have a confidence that despite all that happens, it will be okay in the end. In other words, in time, you will begin to perceive God's work in the midst of this difficult plane of existence called life on planet Earth. And then, when we're done living in this world of conflict and pain and suffering, mixed with joy and love and happiness, we will then, by the grace of God, be transported into the glory and wonder of heaven. What a wondrous God He is to help us and guide us and lead us and gift us in these ways. But back to Peter and John for a moment. This is what Luke writes next. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Friends, following Jesus changes you. Following Jesus changes you. That is truth. The more you follow Jesus, the closer you walk with Him, the more you surrender your heart and your character to Him for Him to form and sculpt, the more you will be changed. And I can tell you this, both you and the people who know you best will like the changes He makes. And by spending time with Jesus, Peter and John had indeed been changed, so much so that it was readily discernible to the Jewish leadership. So they put Peter and John out of the room for a few minutes. They discuss among themselves what they should do. They can't simply ignore it, nor can they deny it. After all, hundreds and hundreds of people were fully aware of this great miracle that had taken place. So they bring Peter and John back in and they sternly order them to no longer talk and teach in the name of Jesus at all. So how did Peter and John reply? With these words. Love these words. Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to Him? You be the judges. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. In other words, they said, we can't help but speak about Jesus. We can't help but speak in His name. How can we do anything else? We have seen this man risen from the dead. We saw Him raise the dead. We saw Him heal the blind. We saw Him turn water into wine. We saw Him cast out demons. We saw Him walk on water. We saw Him calm a raging storm with just a word. How can we help it? We have to talk about Jesus. That's how they responded. And because they responded in that way, the followers of Jesus became more and more and more numerous. Because they responded with the courage of their convictions, because they couldn't bottle it up within them, we are here today. That's right. You see, we are here today because Peter and John and the others told others about Jesus. And those people told others about Jesus. And those people told others about Jesus. And so on down through the centuries to this present day. And so we are here today. I'd like you to remember. Think about, remember who it was that told you about Jesus. Who was it who taught you about Jesus, helped form your faith? Who brought you to be baptized if you were baptized as an infant? Whom did God use to form your faith so that you're sitting here today? Make a list, because it's probably more than one person. Make a list. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to contact them. Thank them. Now, I know some of those people may no longer be living, at least not living on the earth. But very likely some of them are. Contact them. Thank them with all your heart. They were used by God to help you get to this point where you have faith in Jesus Christ, have His help day by day, and know that one day you'll be in heaven in all the glory and wonder of God. Do it. Do it. Then do this. Think about, pray about whom God has placed into your life, with whom, rather, who He has placed in your life, whom you might be used by God to help them along the path of faith. Who do you know whom you're not sure whether they know Jesus or not? And share Jesus with them. Now I know, it kind of sounds scary. And I know, I talk about this 3 or 4 times a year. That's not by accident. You see, we Lutherans, historically, we don't do so good with this. You know, we hope people come to church because we know that our Lutheran pastors are going to tell people about Jesus, right? But you know what? We live in a day and age where people don't come to church much anymore, it seems. Especially, you know, it used to be this. It used to be that you raised your children and the kids would go off to college and most of them would stop going to church during college. But then when they started having kids, they'd start coming back. Not happening much anymore like that. Our world is so secularized and only increasingly so that just doesn't happen. There's a huge percentage of the younger population today who were raised not at all in the church. This is not a part of the fabric that they have grown with. They don't come to church. We really do need to do what God has called us all to do, just like the people did who were responsible for getting you here. Now it's our turn. It's our turn. And you remember how Peter said, we cannot help but speak of what we've seen and heard? That's what you can say too. I wasn't there when Peter took that guy's hand and said, in the name of Jesus, walk, and pull him to his feet. I wasn't there. I hear about it. I've heard about it. I've read about it countless times. You've heard about it many times as well. But you can say, you know, the old nature in you can say, well, but you weren't there, so you don't really have to talk about it. You know, you weren't there. But what has God done in your life? What has He done in the lives of the people that you know about? You know, God still does heal. You know that, don't you? You know people who have been miraculously healed. And you say, who? Well, you can look at me. Most of you know, God, years and years ago, God put fillings in my teeth at a prayer meeting. 7 fillings, just like that. I've still got 6 of them. I know, I didn't take care of that one tooth very well. God still heals people. There's other people that many of you know. Some of you people here today have seen angels in this place helping people serve communion. What has happened in your life that you never thought you were going to be able to get through, but here you are today and your head is held high, and it's because God saw you through? That doesn't mean it was easy all the way through, but God saw you through. In retrospect, you can see the hand of God. You have a story. You do. You've seen and heard of what God has done for you. And the chiefest of all is that He's forgiven your sin and promised to bring you to heaven. How wonderful is that? So you call Sally up. And you say, Sally, would you come to lunch with me on Tuesday? Sure. And you get there. And you say, Sally, here's why I want you to come to lunch with me today. I want to share something with you that I'm sure that I've never shared with you before. And I feel kind of bad about that, because what I want to share with you is the most important thing in my life. What I want to share with you is Jesus. Now, Sally may roll her eyes, but if she's your friend, she's not going to get up and leave. She may roll her eyes, or she may just have a quizzical look. I don't know. But then you can say, Sally, Jesus means so much to me. Jesus has forgiven all of my sins. He helps me through my day, day in and day out. Sometimes I see how He does it. Sometimes I'm not aware of how He does it, but I know He's helping, and He's promised one day to bring me to heaven. Do you know Jesus? And let her respond. And if she says, no, I don't know Jesus, and I'm not particularly interested, you can say, well, why not? Would you not like His help? In the midst of crisis, would you not like His help? In being able to go to Him and pray about this and that, would you like to be in heaven forever? Doesn't that sound good? Because it does sound good, doesn't it? Now, some people still stubbornly say, no, thank you. But you know what? Here's how it works. If this is the point of salvation, let me line myself up with the candle in the booth. If this is the point of salvation, Sally may be right here. And that day that you go to lunch with her, God just might use your sharing with her to just make her come into the kingdom. That would be awesome. But it won't happen that day if you don't take her to lunch. Or Sally might be down here, way away, and maybe you share with her Jesus, and maybe she doesn't come to faith, but maybe the Holy Spirit uses your conversation to move her from here to here, or maybe even to here. And if God uses that conversation that you have with her and moves her from here to here, then maybe the next conversation she comes to here. Or maybe there are four other people that God has lined up and she moves from here to here to here and then finally here into heaven. Now, I know the message is hard to remember. We're sinners and Jesus saves us. And that's really hard to get, right? You know the message. We fall short of God's standard of perfection. But God has the answer. And the answer is Jesus. It's not hard. Penn and Teller, the magicians, tall guy, little guy. Okay? You know what the tall guy says? Bob told me this. He's an avowed atheist. And he apparently has a clip out on YouTube that you can watch, where he explains his justification for being an atheist. And you know what it is? It's this. If Christians really believed what they say they believe, they couldn't help but talk about it. Now, I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to give you a perspective. Remember what Luke wrote about what Peter said. He said, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, you and I have the same Holy Spirit that Peter had. The very same. It's a simple message. Our old nature doesn't want us to speak it. But if we will trust God, God will move people from here to here and sometimes from here right into the kingdom. You know what Peter was doing that day? He was that goldfish jumping out of the bowl. He didn't know where it was going to land necessarily. I mean, how about that? He takes this guy, he sees this beggar, he says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk. And he doesn't even give the guy a chance to respond, just takes him by the hand and pulls him up, and boom, God heals him. That's jumping out of the bowl. May our hearts be touched by the love of God so that our hearts become as His heart is for those people that we know. And may the Spirit of God fill us with love for that person and a trust that He will give us the words to say. And once you share the words, then it's just between them and God. Remember the persons who helped you get to here. And now we can be those who help others get into the kingdom as well. Amen?